everyone. I am so happy to be welcoming a special guest here today on Girlfriends. Diana von Glahn is with us. Diana is the co-producer, writer, host, and sometimes even the camera person and editor of The Faithful Traveler, which is a television series that looks at travel and pilgrimage through the lens of faith. She's a cradle Catholic who loves her faith and loves sharing it with others through travel and television. Her website is thefaithfultraveler.com. Hi, Diana. Welcome to Girlfriends. I am so glad you're here with us.
I'm so glad to be here.
Oh, yeah. We connected on Twitter. We've connected in other ways. You've done some writing for Catholic Digest, but it's really fun to just be able to have this kind of conversation, girlfriend to girlfriend. And, you know, I'm looking forward to all that you're going to share with me and our listeners here today.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, you know, maybe before we get into the hardcore questions that I ask everybody, you can just maybe just give us a little background about what's the history of The Faithful Traveler? How'd you get started in that and how long has it been around?
Well, my husband and I have been working on it for about 12 years. Mm-hmm. We started it shortly after we got married, and it was actually on our honeymoon. Well, as we were planning our honeymoon that we kind of got the idea. You know, we were big Travel Channel watchers at the time, and we, like you said, I'm a cradle Catholic, so I've been going to Catholic places of my whole life, you know, and mm-hmm. as you move around the world and around the country, you always kind of gravitate to, you know, Catholic places because that's where you're home, you
right.
know. So my husband, David, was a new convert. And so as I planned our honeymoon, I was kind of doing a mixture of, you know, touristy and sacred sites. And we were talking and saying, gosh, wouldn't it be awesome if there was a television show that was like worthy of the Travel Channel,
right.
but that went to Catholic places, you know,
yeah.
because, I mean, there were some, you know, Catholic people who went to places, but it wasn't really quite the production values that, you know, the younger generations are more used to.
Sure.
So, and then, you know, you turn to like the History Channel and it's like beautiful, but it's like all lies, you know?
Yes. Yes.
So, yeah, so we're just like, okay, we want to watch a show that's actually good and informative. And so we kind of played around with it on our honeymoon. And then when we came back, we were like, you know what? We should totally do this. So I taught myself how to edit and we just created it from there. And
wow.
we have been learning as we go along. And I think every season we just keep getting better and better.
That is awesome. I love that it started on your honeymoon. So it's really
yeah.
been a joint venture. Now, is this full-time work for both of you?
It's actually a hobby. We both have full-time jobs.
Mm-hmm.
So because,
I know what
you
that's
know,
like.
yeah. Well, you know, being Catholic doesn't pay anything. So
what?
We can't. Well, we could not make a living on this show. I mean, we can't even we're like the show does not bring enough money to, you know, to even pay for itself. So
Yet.
We pay for the show by, well, you know, from your mouth to God's ears. But we pay for the show because we have full-time jobs. So,
right.
you know, and we don't have children. So this is kind of like our baby.
Yeah.
You know, we are blessed to have jobs and we've recently started getting some sponsorships with the show. But, you know, so for now it is a hobby that we love greatly and that takes a good deal of our time.
Right. Well, we're glad you're doing it. And I'm really looking forward to a lot of the new stuff that you're going to be sharing very shortly here. But, okay, before we go any further, I want to make sure we get our questions in that I ask everybody who dares to come on Girlfriends. so to get us started, Diana, I sent you these the other night, so you had a little time to think about it. What did you decide that you'd like to share about a time when you felt like you really triumphed, like either professionally or personally? When did you ever first feel a sense of achievement or accomplishment?
You know, these questions are so good. I can't even tell you. Like, I, in fact, as you know, I emailed you and I'm like, what part of my life am I supposed to address here?
Yeah,
you know?
Whatever you're feeling called to talk about.
Yeah, I gave it a lot of thought because, you know, I mean, The Faithful Traveler has been a short period of my life, but everything kind of led up to it, I think. So looking at my life, I think probably the greatest triumph is actually kind of funny. It's also tied into my greatest mistake, but God only knows what the purpose is. My
right.
greatest triumph was when I passed the California bar.
Nice.
that I was just
I didn't
very...
know you did. That's awesome.
I did. I went to law school at Notre Dame and I don't know why. And it was a very big mistake because I was not meant to be a lawyer and I didn't like it at all. But I persevered and like a stubborn girl that I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I graduated, and you know, the whole time I just felt like an idiot. I felt like I didn't belong. I felt like I didn't want to be there, and yet for some reason I kept doing it. And so when I studied for the bar, I was just like, whatever, I'm just going to do this because, you know, that's what comes next.
Right.
And then I passed, and I was like, wow.
Yeah, you pretty cool.
And, you know, and everybody was like, well, you know, JFK Jr. failed 3 times. And I'm like, yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for that. You know? But so then I think that was probably the first moment that in my life that I felt like, wow, I did this completely on my own. Yeah. I mean, granted, you know, somebody taught me, but
sure.
So that was probably the greatest moment of triumph for myself. I mean, with regards to the Faithful Traveler, you know, anytime something good happens, there's always a great deal of work that follows it. So I never have time to appreciate the triumph. That,
right. You know? I know what you mean. Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's amazing. I didn't know that about you. And that's something you can sit on that accomplishment for the rest of your life, right? You totally beat out JFK Jr.
Yeah. And my loans for the rest of my life.
Those two will follow you around for the rest of your life.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. So funny how we don't know early on exactly where our paths are going to take us. And I think a lot of young people find themselves in a situation like you just described, like, why am I here? Why am I doing this? And for whatever number of reasons, but you persevered and you did pass the bar. So I think that's awesome. Thanks for sharing that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, now we're to the tough part where you have to tell about a mistake. Now you got to brag a little. Now we get it. But well, I love the answers to this because I think this is where women really connect, because it's in our failures that we are most human and that we really can connect with each other on the things that matter the most. So tell us about a time that you experienced a mistake or a failure of some kind, again, either professionally or personally, and what you learned from it.
Well, this was a hard question because, I mean, how many mistakes have I made? Like, I mean, let me count the ways, you know?
Right. I know. So many people say that. They're like, oh, which one should I pick?
Yeah. I am constantly making mistakes. And, and usually, I think my biggest mistake usually tends to be my big mouth. You know, I'm very quick to speak and not to think. This mistake actually happened when I was being interviewed during the World Meeting of Families by Jeanette Benkovich and Doug Keck on EWTN.
Yeah.
And Jeanette asked me about this blog post that I had written called The Apostolate of Cheerfulness. And essentially, you know, the gist of it was, you know, I feel very uncomfortable when people talk about the show being my ministry because, you know, I'm not a minister. I'm just a girl who likes to travel and happens to be Catholic, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I don't look at this as a ministry, but I remembered reading, something that Saint Jose Maria Escriva wrote about the apostolate of cheerfulness. Mm-hmm. And the concept was essentially that, you know, it is our joy that entices people towards what we love, and what we love is God, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it is all of that will, not words, not actions. It's our joy. It's our cheerfulness that will bring people toward God like moths to a flame. And so I was talking to Jeanette and Doug, and I said something stupid like, who wants to be around somebody who's depressed? And
I'm like, oh gosh.
I know. I mean, and you know, like I didn't even think about it, but wow, right. the depressed people really commented on that one. And you know, to be fair, I mean, like I commented afterwards and I was like, you know, I've been depressed my whole life, you know, times. I mean,
sure.
Not my whole life, but so it's like, I wasn't essentially
saying.
And
you didn't mean that. Yeah, I mean.
I know, but it was like, wow, foot in mouth, you know? And
right.
I mean, it really, the good thing about it was it said to me, and I think a lot of people don't realize how hard it is to speak correctly when you're on the spot on television, you know, and not say something stupid. And so it taught me to give other people a break because I hope that they give me one when I say something dumb like that too.
And that, I mean, I think there's a good lesson for all of us in that. First of all, the power of your words that, you know, Simca Fisher shared a similar story where she had, it wasn't on TV, but it was something she had written online kind of flippantly and insensitively and really took a lot of flack for it. And she was saying, rightly so, I was wrong. But then, you know, it does make you pause and recognize how powerful our words are and how powerful they are to encourage or discourage people. And then the other side of that, too, that you mentioned, Give people a break. You know, they say one thing in the heat of the moment or, you know, on the spot on TV. It's so easy to mess up in such embarrassing ways, honestly. I mean, I know I personally, whenever I've been interviewed on TV, so or when I've been interviewed on the radio, there's so many times I'm at the end of it, I'm like, oh, sweet humility. Need to I need to not replay that in my head and just move on and offer it up because, you know, it doesn't all come out perfectly. So, important lessons for all of us there. I'm sure Johnette was very gracious about it.
Oh, they didn't even flinch. I don't know if it occurred to them because, you know, because of the context of what I was saying, it wasn't anti-depressed people, it was pro-cheerfulness, you know. So it was like, and so yeah, it didn't even occur to me until afterwards either. So yeah,
Well, and
silly.
I'm interested in this cheerfulness, what is it, a postulate of cheerfulness? That's what it's called. And I'm going to check that out. Maybe you can send me the link and we'll share it on the show notes for your blog
I will.
post on that, because that's really, I mean, as a naturally optimistic and cheerful person that sometimes annoys people, I would like to be able to tell people it's an apostolate.
Totally.
I'm not being annoying. I'm ministering to your needs. All right, well, great. Thanks, Diana. Let's move on to the next question, where I love hearing about this because there's so much great advice out there, and this way we all get to reap the benefits of it. What's the best advice that you've ever received? Who gave it to you, and how do you try to implement it in your life?
Well, you know, again, I've received so much good advice over the years, but the one that really struck me when I read the question was one that I had heard recently, and it wasn't really said to me directly. It was just something that I had read. You know, as we all know, Mother Angelica died recently, and as a result, you know, I was glued to EWTN for the, you know, the week after her death, and
Of course.
watching all of Raymond Arroyo's interviews, and I actually went back, and bought his audiobook of Mother Angelica's biography, and I
Oh,
was listening
cool.
to it. Yeah, and one of the things, and I cannot recommend it enough. He really is just a master performer. Seriously, like I have newfound respect for him. But at one point, Mother talks about living in the present, you know, and that is not something that I am good at. And so, and you know, you think like. And for me, you know, doing what I'm doing, like if anybody would understand it, it's Mother Angelica, you know. So I thought, you know, if Mother can do this, then so can I. And so I thought, you know, so that's kind of the concept of, you know, just trying to remain in the present, trusting that God put what is in your face at that moment on purpose, and He wants you to address it and not worry about the future, you know, and just kind of trust in His providence. So I'm still struggling to implement that, but I think it is definitely, you know, it's just really essentially just, you know, mindfulness, you know, focusing on that kind of thing, and I think it helps. Today, with all of us that we're so stressed and we're so worried about the future and everything, and you know, just kind of also, you know, especially with the year of divine mercy, you know, Jesus, I trust in you. Well, do we really put our money where our mouth is, you know?
I know. Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Sometimes those are the most reluctant words I ever speak in prayer are, oh, I trust in you. Like, oh gosh. And you know what? He takes it. He takes it. And even if that's the only cruddy thing we have to offer him is a very reluctant trust, he works with that. So, beautiful advice from Mother Angelica and something that I think most women can relate to, you know, the idea of that. So many of us, we're living in the past, regretting our pasts, or we're living in the future, anxious, you know, filled with anxiety about what the future might hold for us and for the people we love. And God's calling us to be right here, right now, doing His will in this very moment. And such a challenge to focus on that. You know, that reminded me of some advice another mom years ago gave me, which was do what you're doing. And it's so simple, and yet it's so hard to do. So hard to just give yourself that permission to do just the thing that you're doing and focus on it. But how much our work benefits, and more importantly, how much our relationships benefit from us giving them that focused attention. It's so hugely important.
Yeah, and I think it also helps us to be more grateful because when we're not worried about the future, worried about the past, we can see what is in front of us and actually appreciate it and give thanks for it, you know, instead of letting the worry overtake that.
Absolutely. Yeah, exactly that. That it's gives you greater gratitude in the moment and greater enjoyment of everything
Yeah.
that you have, the blessings that you have, you know, if you have children
Yeah.
or with your spouse and, or even in your work, just, you know, focusing on your work. So how many times do we try to do 16 different tasks at once and we haven't focused on any of them? We have no sense
Right.
of satisfaction. We've done all of them poorly. At the end
Yeah.
of the day, we're feeling frazzled and confused and pulled in too many directions. So yeah. Thank you, Diana. And thank you, Mother Angelica.
Yeah, she's awesome.
She's the best, honestly. I mean, I've loved her for years, but, you know, of course, with her making the news with her recent death on Easter Sunday, love it when God gives us those little graces and treats his children specially in that way. But just so such good, wise words and so very practical. You know, that's what
Yeah.
I think I really love about her, that she wasn't afraid to say the things. And
Yeah.
so often we need to just hear the things. So great.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think we won't have time for another question if we're going to fit in your lightning round, you know.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So that went by quickly. It always does, because I always love talking with all of you girls here on Girlfriends. And we have so much in common. And that's what I really love, actually, about sharing those same questions every time. And I've heard from listeners who say the same, that it really does highlight the things that we have in common and then the beautiful ways in which we're different. Okay. So don't get nervous, Diana. I always try to make people nervous for their lightning round.
Okay.
Nobody really ever gets nervous. I won't do it to you because you're so sweet, but somebody, I'm going to have to surprise them with horrible questions instead of the softball ones that I usually ask. But if you're ready, let me get my timer set here. All right, here we go with lightning round with Diana Von Glahn from The Faithful Traveler on the Girlfriends podcast. Okay, Diana, when you get a rare moment alone, what guilty pleasure do you like to indulge in?
Watch TV.
Okay. Yeah. Travel channel, right?
Yeah.
All right. What's your favorite, this is for a traveler now, weekend getaway spot?
Gosh, the couch. It's horrible.
No,
I know.
No, it's great.
I like my house.
No, that is awesome that you have a home that you love that much. That's great. All right. Coffee or tea?
Coffee.
Twitter or Facebook?
Facebook.
Window seat or aisle?
Window.
Oh, good. That's inside traveler tip, right? All right. What college class would you most like to take today if you went back to school?
Oh, my gosh. Architecture, some kind of sacred architecture.
That'd be beautiful. Okay. And what's your perfect date night? Describe it.
Well, we are somewhere foreign, anywhere.
Okay.
We have foreign coffee, ice cream, and the weather is perfect. And my husband's with me, of course.
Romantic. Oh, love it. Okay. You survived. That's it. That wasn't so bad. And we got to find out more about you traveling, but also liking to stay at home. I love that, because that's what home's supposed to be.
Yeah.
Supposed to be that comfort zone for you. Well,
yeah, I really appreciate both aspects. So
absolutely. Yeah. And, you know, Dana, I want to thank you for coming on here. But also, before you have to go, I want to give you a chance to give a shout out to what's new, what's going on in your life. What news do you want to share with all of us?
Oh, I have a new television series coming out called A Papal Pilgrimage in the Holy Land, and it'll be out next month on Catholic TV and Shalom World, and it'll be out on EWTN in June. So if people just want to visit my website for the broadcast dates and times, they can see it there. And it's essentially just following Pope Francis on his pilgrimage that he took 2 years ago to the Holy Land.
That is awesome. So they can find out about that at thefaithfultraveler.com.
That's correct. Yeah.
Awesome. And I love that you're a fellow Catholic TV girl. I'm hoping to get you on The Gist when we're taping there sometime soon.
That'd be awesome.
Yeah, we just girls. We no Catholic TV girls got to stick together. Well, thanks for coming on, Diana. It's been a pleasure talking with you, and thank you also for just the work that you do. You and your husband, this beautiful, I won't call it a ministry, this beautiful hobby. Inspiring hobby that you share, teaching all of us how we can be Catholic all over the world and the inspiration that can come from that. Thanks for doing that.
Thank you.
Yeah. God bless you in all you do. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks again.
All right. God bless.